All right, so today we have Ryan Matthews. Ryan, appreciate you taking the time to do this. How are we doing today?
Good, man. How are you?
Not too bad. You want to tell these folks what you do?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and give a brief 30-second just kind of overcap of everything I've been doing. So I'm most known for just everything I do with e-commerce and just online business in general. I initially started with just the cheap AliExpress dropshipping method, finding products from China, making my own website and selling them on there. Then to moving into more of the real business model of high ticket dropshipping, selling a lot more expensive items online, where I was actually teaching that for a prolonged period of time. And now I actually teach a new method and do a new method myself. That goes with what's called POD, which stands for print on demand, which is actually like designing your own products, whether that's like t-shirts or bags or whatever it may be, and then selling those on your own website, which is really easy to build a brand around and then just build a real business. So similar to the high ticket method, except selling lower ticket items because all your products are still coming from the US. So yeah, so I'm involved in e-commerce, I have my own websites, and I also really like teaching people it. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
No, I appreciate that. And so let me ask you this. You're only 17 for those listening, but when did you kind of start figuring out that this is something you're interested in and wanted to do?
Yeah, so I'm 17 now, and entrepreneurship in general, I kind of always like looked down upon it, at least for myself, because I always thought, you know, it took like a lot of time, a lot of effort, and I never thought I could do it, you know, at this age, and I always thought it's like a year of just dumping money into something, and then eventually, you know, it'll you know, be profitable, which is sometimes true for sure, and sometimes it takes years to build up something, but that was kind of just the way I looked at it, and it wasn't until I turned like 16 where I had my license, I had a car, but then I like wanted money and like, I didn't want a job though, cause I didn't want to like sacrifice all this time, and just not be able to do anything. And you know, like just not have the freedom of time. So what I started doing was, I would buy shoes from Ross and then resell them on eBay. And, the profit margins were decent. I was making like $800 a month on a decent month. And it was really cool, right? Like at the time I felt like I was balling. I was 16 years old. I just got my license and I was, you know, raking in some type of money. I pretty much like had like nothing, no money in my bank account to having about like $1,200-$1,300 just sitting around. And I was really just like in a saving mode. I didn't spend any money. So that was cool. I did that for a few months. And then eventually just got to the point where I realized like, I can't scale this. Like I can only make as much money as many shoes I can find. Right. And there's months where I like, there'd be nothing at Ross, right? Like after Christmas, there's nothing there. It's literally just swept out. But then like right before Christmas, there's tons. So I didn't like that either. Right. Like, when you can't, when you're relying on like being able to find the product, right? When there's a demand, you can sell it so easily, but you can't get your hands on the product. It sucks. So that's why kind of dropshipping intrigued me, because I think the main reason I even know about dropshipping is because I was just Googling like how to make money online as a teenager, stuff, you know, stuff like that. And then you start getting hit with like YouTube pre-roll ads and stuff of just, you know, like Alex Becker telling you how some guy made like $300,000 in a month. So eventually, like, I was just getting warmed up to this idea until I actually did my own research on it, figured out what these people are actually doing. To a certain extent, I still didn't really understand. I thought Shopify was like another form of eBay, which it's not at all. But yeah, but I like the idea of how we had as many products as we want, right? Like AliExpress has thousands upon inventory, right? So you're not going to sell out, you know, and if you do, you just find another product. So yeah, so that's pretty much it. But it kind of just developed over time where even when I was selling shoes, I still would never have said I ever wanted to be an entrepreneur. And it kind of just developed over time to then realizing that there actually is a lot of potential in it.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's like the biggest thing is, I mean, most kids that are 16 go and get a job, right? They don't necessarily go and start flipping shoes.
Yeah.
And, you know, as far as reselling goes, I think there's people that crush it in that game. Don't get me wrong, but it's definitely a lot.
Oh, yeah.
When you're sourcing and, you know, constantly trying to find new things. And obviously, I mean, there's people that do it on all sorts of different scales, but like you're picking stuff up locally and, you know, haven't really expanded that network, it definitely makes it hard. So kind of like what we were talking about before we hopped on here, but with Amazon FBA that I kind of jumped into, that was kind of like my first thing that I realized, like, hey, you know, the company I worked for had over 100,000 square feet of production and in a warehouse. And I was like, for a couple grand, I can launch my own brand and kind of go down that path. And with drop shipping, you know, I found out about that later. And Shopify is definitely, I think, still like your number one thing that people like. When you hear drop shipping, that's what I think of. Like, unfortunately, yeah. AliExpress, Shopify, like those are kind of like, I don't say synonymous, but like I feel like it's close. Like that's how people like think of that whole method. So explain a little bit with, if you don't mind first going into kind of the high ticket aspect of differentiate, moved away from like kind of the lower ticket AliExpress, kind of like what everyone is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I think like e-commerce in general and drop shipping has like just made it to where we get like all these crappy products, crappy websites, and just this, like just a bad experience overall. Like people are buying products and they're not getting it for 3 weeks. And it just made e-commerce like a lot harder if you're doing that method, right? Like at first, I'm sure those crappy websites and crappy products made a lot of money, right? Because when Facebook ads just came out, they're really cheap. It was really easy to do it. But then when everyone starts doing it, it just doesn't work. So I was doing the AliExpress method. I was, you know, not making any money off Facebook ads. I was just using Instagram DM, and I was, you know, maybe making like $30, $40 a day until I really like kind of just clicked. I was like, why am I doing this if I can just make more, right, with a higher ticket item? And then I found someone who was actually doing it, and I hired him to mentor me, and he taught me it, right? And then from there, when you're selling a brand name item, you actually have to, like, your website's a lot more professional. Everything's a lot better. So then I learned it, right? Like, now if I went back into AliExpress dropshipping, I think I could do it pretty successfully because I could build a brand around an item and, like, brand this item as something that's – I probably have a ton of chargebacks because people will be pissed off when they get it. Like, what is this?
Right.
But you just learn a lot as you go through it. So, yeah, high ticket just kind of struck me as, like, something that you're actually building a real business and it's really long term because you have satisfied customers and you can just develop like this whole, you know, like viral brand, right? People tell their friends and you're getting free sales and it just continues to build. Whereas when you're just like, when you don't have a satisfied customer, then you're never ever going to like scale to the extent, right? Like an exponential growth is never going to occur.
Right. Well, I think too, I mean, as you were saying with AliExpress and with stuff coming from China, I mean, if 3 weeks is kind of your lucky, right? If you have e-packet stuff set up correctly, and Amazon's made this standard of, you know, 2-day shipping, it just doesn't work. I mean, you could give them, if they're buying a yoga mat, you could give them a DVD or, you know, an ebook that gives them some stuff, and then it's going to tie them over for a couple of days, but not for a few weeks. So one thing that you just said, so are you selling in high ticket, are you selling basically brand name already existing companies' products?
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah, it basically works where you pick a niche, right? My first niche was gun safes, and then you reach out to brands that are in the U.S. that are, or they already have brands around them, and that's your whole, like, if you don't have that, you can't really do it, like, because people are literally just Googling the brand name, and then they're getting hit with your ad. So, yeah, 100%.
Cool. So are you, in a way, basically siphoning off of, like, let's say, like, Google's traffic then? Is that how you're going about kind of? Okay.
Yeah, it's all Google shopping ads.
Okay.
So when you search something, when you search a product name, it's just right underneath it. For those of you that don't know, it's just a little picture, the price, and like, yeah, and the product name. So that's it.
Yeah. And out of curiosity, I mean, how are your margins? And obviously this varies, but what are you finding typically that you can find on getting a lot of these products?
Yeah. Before overhead costs, suppliers typically give you like 30 to 50% margins. So that's pretty typical. Obviously after you have ad costs, you know, it's probably closer to 30%.
Okay. I mean, that's still solid though. I mean,
yeah.
I feel like in low ticket, even you see these stores that people are posting, you know, screenshots and they're making 10 grand a month or whatever, but after ads and after cost of goods and, you know, as you said, chargebacks, and everything else too. I mean, I don't even think their margins, you know, most of the time are probably under 10%, which is brutal.
Yeah. Dude. I know people that like, oh yeah, I had a $14,000 a month in AliExpress, but then I had $8,000 in chargebacks. And then I spent $5,000 in ads and I ended up losing money. I'm like, how'd you lose money if you brought in $14,000 in revenue? But yeah, it's just how it works.
No, absolutely. So what made you shift from kind of that model then? I mean, are you still doing high ticket and kind of in the background, or are you more focused on print on demand?
Yeah, so I have my own high ticket stores. They're currently like, I'm not doing anything with them. They're sitting there, they're bringing in orders. But I'm not scaling those because I'm putting my energy into, you know, other stuff that I think is going to be more fruitful long-term, right? I think high ticket is definitely very, very good and an easy, not easy, but an effective way to hit, you know, 20, 30K a month. But then like it gets to a point where after that you have to build past that, right? And if you want to, there's other businesses that are more successful, right? So I'm learning POD. I'm not learning. I learned POD and I'm learning more about it to get really good at it. That way I can more effectively teach it, right? Because I honestly, like, I tell this like to everyone, but it's so true. Like when I got my first high ticket order, it was like $933. And I was like super, like I was super hyped, right? But when I got my first student that had a, you know, $1,000 order, I was way more hyped. So sure. Like it's honest. That's why I just started, I fell in love with it, bro. Like, it's, it got addicting to the point where like once a student is my student, like my one goal is just to get them where they want to be. So yeah, yeah, I still do high ticket, but then I'm mainly doing the POD stuff right now.
Sure. So let me ask you this. I mean, it sounds like kind of, I mean, with internet marketing in general, right? I mean, most of it, when you come down to, let's even say like your personal brand, right? So your Instagram account, you know, and then you having courses, whatever else, to promoting yourself, a lot of it comes down to, I mean, you could really dive into the market point of like psychology and all that, but I mean, marketing is really kind of how you captivate your audience regardless of what you're selling, right?
Yeah. So
with print on demand, how have you kind of figured how to position yourself in the marketplace and like find those holes? Because there's so many companies coming up right now. I mean, I know Gymshark is kind of like a staple, right? That like influencers, they call that, and that was a few years back. But what are you finding for like launching these brands and going into that? Do you want to talk a little bit about kind of like your methods around that?
Yeah, so for the POD method, what we're actually doing, and it's all free traffic. Like we teach Facebook ads in our program, but we tell our students like don't launch any ads until you get like $5,000 a month, which is like pretty much first month. It should be if you're taking action. So yeah, because we literally just want the overhead cost to be the program and then $29 for Shopify and like a $10 for domain. Like there's literally nothing else they should have to buy if they want like a theme. There's a few other things that they could buy, but they don't really need anything else. So they have this store and then we're bringing in free traffic from Instagram where they're basically just developing an Instagram page. And then reaching out to like what we like to call micro influencers. They don't even have to be, you know, they could have 500 followers, right?
Right.
But you're like utilizing 500 different people's audiences rather than just like one big one. And you're not like giving them anything until you get something back. Right. So what we do, is we have this method where we're reaching out to people. Obviously I'm not gonna go too in depth into it cause I can't really do it without giving it away. Basically, we're reaching out to people. We're offering them something, right? They buy a product and they promote it. And then if they continue to promote it, we actually hook them up with free stuff, basically. So it works really well where these people are like, they love it. They're getting free stuff. But we also get the sale up front. Now they're promoting it. Now we're getting more people in. So that's the main reason. It just develops like this flywheel where you can really easily spread. Because with clothing, it's really hard to have an organic growth, right? Because people wear what other people wear, right? When they see someone cool, they want to wear as well. So that's like kind of when we just came across this and just fine tuned it for ourselves, it really started just rapidly growing. Cause the big influencers, like it's hard to get with them, like hard to get a connection with them. And then secondly, it's, you know, it's expensive. And then thirdly, it doesn't always convert, right? Like your product doesn't always, you know, like it just doesn't. So it's really nice to be able to have something where you don't have to pay all this money up front and you can test a lot without just forking out ad money and, you know, or money for influencer traffic or whatever it may be.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's, you know, I mean, still ultimately at the end of the day, the cost to start a business today is dramatically lower than it ever has been in history. But at the same time, I mean, you do need upfront capital and kind of need to be smart with how you go about doing that. Cash flow is always your like business's number one issue. Let me ask you this. So how many students do you have right now?
So in the high ticket program before, I separated from that, we had like 600 and something. And then we launched a mastermind group for the POD course. We had about 10 in the mastermind group. And then we have about 20 new students actually in the course for the past like 2 or 3 weeks. So as far as the POD side, like 30 right now, and then more coming in every single day.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I'll grow on that. So what I will do is, you know, I'll put all your contact information kind of in the episode notes, if that's cool with you, so they can reach out and kind of contact you if they want to know more about that.
Yeah, 100%.
What is, I guess, before I let you go here, give me two questions for you. The first is, for anyone starting out, regardless of how old they are, what's your number one piece of advice?
Mm-hmm. All right. So do you want to ask both? All right. I'll go ahead and answer the first one. So number one, is like, understand this main thing, right? When you're starting out, you're going to think your product, you're going to think your business is like the best thing ever, right? You're literally going to think this is going to be your million-dollar idea, right? You're going to think in the next 2 months, this is going to make you all this money, but that's never how it works, right? Sometimes it does, right? And sometimes you can become profitable off this, especially if you have someone teaching you. like a mentor, or you have some type of, you know, like guidance, you know, other than just like YouTube videos, you know, sometimes you can be profitable off your first one. But like most millionaires, like the first 11 times they try something, they don't, like, it just flops, right? Russell Brunson says like half the things, even now, half the things he throws out there flop, right? And even me, like, there's stuff I do that just fails. So you have to like understand, like, expect that, you know, yeah. But understand that the benefit is worth it, and just keep putting stuff out and keep trying until eventually it's going to work. So now, you know, my main thing is, you know, be optimistic, but then also be optimistic after you fail, and then just continue to just, you know, try new things, push out stuff, because eventually you're going to get it and it's going to click. So that'd be my number one thing for sure.
Fair enough. And then I guess the one other question I want to ask you is, as far as how do you consume content? Like, well, how do you learn? Are you listening to podcasts? Are you reading books? Are you watching YouTube videos? And then from those, what are like your top three in whatever section that you're kind of learning from?
Okay. So I think I get a little bit from everywhere, but I try and just, because I feel like sometimes I like force myself to read books, but then it's just like, it's not as good, right? Like, I'd rather just get more of what I like getting. So I think audio content is the best one. I love like Russell Brunson's Marketing Secrets podcast. So that'd be my number one podcast. That there's just so much, like, it's 10 minutes and there's just so much value in all of those. And then I love YouTube videos. Like, I think they're a great way to just get like tons of knowledge. If you know who you're researching, right? Because there's tons of like stuff out there about dropshipping that's just not true or just garbage. And that makes it a lot harder for people to like get started with it. But two of the people I love on YouTube is Sam Ovens. Yeah. He's just crazy stuff, like insane. Everything Sam Ovens posts is legitimate and just good. And that fool's actually not full. That guy is actually pushing crazy numbers. He's doing multi six figures every single day. So he knows what he's doing. And then along with Iman Godzi, I don't know how to say it. Sure. But Iman, he does SMMA, so social media marketing, which I don't do, but that's another great business model that he teaches. And he also has some other stuff that's not directly correlated to that. So those are the two people on YouTube. And then the third one, honestly, is just like courses. So even now, I still invest in courses. I bought Sam Ovens' course, which is a little bit pricey. I just bought a course on personal branding. So I think just finding little programs that you like and then just getting into them, because like Iman actually says this. He says like it's so easy like to become successful because you can just buy it, right? Like you can just buy the knowledge that you need and then just get the mindset and start implementing it all. So courses are amazing. And then YouTube videos and podcasts. That's number three. I'm always trying to be like a sponge and soak as much of it as possible.
Absolutely. No, I hear you. And there's a ton of content. Kind of as you mentioned, you know, YouTube, there's some people out there that are teaching stuff that, and a lot of it's outdated and a lot of it doesn't work. It's hard, but like when you have quality sources, like we have so much that's accessible to us today. It's pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, being 17, I mean, I guess this probably, I mean, are you looking at going to college? Let me put it that way.
That's a hard question. So I want to, but I feel like I shouldn't. So I think the best way to explain it is like, part of me wants to, like, oh, like just out of fear, like, oh, what if this doesn't work? Or what if that doesn't work? Or what if one day it just fails? Or for whatever reason, right? Which is like also the wrong way to look at it, because I want it to be the situation. The reason I say I shouldn't is because I want it to be like where I don't have any other option, right? Like I want it to literally be like, if this doesn't work, I'm screwed, because then it will work. So I want to in a sense, but I don't want to. So I haven't made the final decision yet. I'm hoping just to take like a year without it and then just see where everything goes. But it, like right now, I'm doing bigger numbers than I could ever do at a normal job. Like,
right. Well, I think like, here's the thing is I think from my personal experience, I have a degree. My degree is in nuclear medicine technology. I don't use it, even what I do now. Right. It was a stepping stone. You jumped through it. And here's the other thing, dude, you're 17 and you're putting numbers on the board. You're killing it. My suggestion to you, do what you feel is right, but realize that school will always be there. You can always go back. You can be 35 and go back to school. It doesn't matter. But the opportunity you have right now, that's completely different, you know, when you're 35.
Yeah.
So
exactly. And the funny thing is like everyone that's not in business and is not building a business are successful. Like obviously they're all telling me the same thing. Oh, you need to go. Like you have to go. You don't have another option or whatever. Right. but everyone that's actually in it, whether they went or they didn't, every single one of them, like I don't think I've had a single person that's actually doing numbers and actually like in business that has told me to go. I don't think there's been literally anybody. So everyone says, yeah, that it's always going to be there, or that you don't need it. Like, look, like you have the skill set to, you know, you can go work at a marketing agency if you have to or whatever. But right now it's just like, even if I just maintain it, even if I lost 50% of everything we were doing, I would still be more than like comfortable. So
right,
I don't think there's a reason to go, but I don't know. Just, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's, as you said, the people that aren't interested in this and the people that aren't doing, you know, some kind of entrepreneurial venture aren't going to understand that. But I think even the people that are within like this space, so to speak, everyone has their own kind of idea of success and making it, right? And everyone has this kind of picture in their head of where they want to be. And
yeah,
it's yours though. Like, where I want to be is probably completely different from where you want to be. But like, to each of us individually, that's like success. So like, don't ever let somebody else influence you or kind of like help you try to make that call for yourself. I think internally, like, go with your gut, do what you think is right, and like whatever you think is going to help you end up where you want to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
But cool, man. Well, I appreciate you hopping on here. And like I said, I'll leave all your stuff in the show notes. And no, this has been great.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Of course.